A lot of stories have been concocted throughout history to try to cover up the truth about Christ and his resurrection. But God's word of revelation through the angel tells the story, the real story. Jesus has indeed been risen from the dead, just as he said. Just as he said, just a few moments, it won't take long. Jesus foretold his death as well as his resurrection numerous times. I think there's five times in the Gospels. One account is found in Matthew 16:21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. They didn't hear that somehow. It was another sermon. They heard the part I said a couple weeks ago. They heard a part about, yeah, I'm going to set up my kingdom. It's going to last forever. But they didn't want to hear this. They didn't want to hear it. And you'll see if you read the accounts, even today, they just didn't get it. Do we look like that sometimes, just not getting it? One Old Testament scripture that spoke of his resurrection is found in Psalm 16:9-10. Here's what it says. It said, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Peter used these words when he preached in Acts to tell a crowd on the day of Pentecost that David wasn't speaking about himself, because he wrote the psalm. But he was looking ahead. And he was speaking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he would not be abandoned to the grave, that his body would not see decay. You know, in the last half of verse 6, the angels tells the ladies to come and see the place where he lay. They announced it, but they said, you know, investigate for yourself. See this amazing miracle with your own eyes. Look into the empty tomb. He's not there. He has arisen. And then they give him this command. Then go and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead to you at Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. I went, now I have told you. Why is that in the text? Now I have told you. My curiosity was aroused at these last words of the angel. Now I have told you. I get the feeling, and this is just my own understanding of this, certainly not heretical, but I get the feeling deep down in my spirit that the angelic messenger is handing over the baton to them now. In essence, he's saying, I came to verify and proclaim for all of humanity that Jesus has risen from the dead. I played my part. Now I've told you, and God's word to you is go and proclaim it to his disciples. That's what I got out of that. It says in verse 8, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Take a moment to notice the emotions in that sentence. There's a real sense of urgency there, isn't there? Both in the angel's command as well as in the women's response, the words quickly and hurried are used. In other words, proclaiming Jesus' resurrection from the dead needs to be announced, and it needs to be announced now. Don't hesitate. Notice also that there's a mixture of fear and joy present in them. Fear most likely from all that just occurred. The truth of seeing an empty tomb, the appearance of a shining, lightning-clad angel, along with his message of urgency to go quickly to inform the disciples. I suppose I would have felt a little fear and a certain amount of awe also. But, you know, I got to thinking, the fear that these women are experiencing is unlike the fear of the guards we saw earlier. Their fear caused them to shake and become immobilized. Did you hear me? Their fear caused them to shake and they became immobilized. The scripture says they became like dead men. I am an evangelist at heart. I wish every one of you would go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. But the fear these women felt is coupled with a great sense of joy. I get the feeling that their fear was overridden by their joy. You know why I stand behind the pulpit today? You should have seen me in high school. I didn't say anything to anybody. I had very few friends. I was afraid to talk. But the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's so much joy in my life. And I knew how miserable I was before I came to know him. I had to overcome that fear because of the joy that I had. How could I withhold something that I had stumbled across with such great joy? Their joy overrode their fear. You know, something deep down inside them was beginning to recognize that all they had hoped for in Jesus is actually coming true. It's starting to come true. A few days ago, their future looked dim. But now their future includes the hope of seeing the risen Christ. Remember when your future looked dim? But once it included the hope of the risen Christ, the lights went on. Amen. The lights were shining.
Amen.
It says in verse 9, while these women were running to tell the disciples, they have an encounter with Jesus. Verse 9 says, suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. Now, in order to get the feeling of what's going on here, you need to do a word study, which I did for you, okay? The meaning of the word greeting, King James says all hail, okay? Means to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. This greeting is connected with the idea of Jesus' joy. Remember, he's the one that's doing the greeting. He's rejoicing. He's filled with joy of his resurrection and at meeting him again. He's saying, look! Whoa! Look at Mary! Mary, look! He's excited. He's excited. Not her. She's going to get excited, but he's the one who's excited. It would be like me being greatly excited at seeing someone who I knew would be worried about me to the point of tears and anguish. This is a bad illustration, but it's the best I could come up with. And me rejoicing how God brought me through some excruciating trial. Brought me back from the dead. I was on the table and they cut me open and I died. And me coming back and seeing my family and my friends and rejoicing. You notice the presence of the risen Christ turns their fear into worship. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Something neither angels nor the apostles or any man in his right mind would allow. But Jesus accepts it. He accepts the acknowledgement of his deity, because what worship is reserved for God, and that he is. There's a good example of him claiming he was God. But, you know, also Matthew, by mentioning that they clasped his feet or grabbed onto his feet, in a way he's subtly emphasizing that, you know, Jesus is not some sort of spiritual phantom or a vision. No, this is a real live physical resurrection. A real live physical resurrection. We know from the scripture that at times Jesus ate with them. Meant that his food was contained. Didn't just fall back out of his body. Remember Thomas? Yeah, I mean, I don't know where that came from, but Thomas even stuck his fingers in the wounds of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul assures us in 1 Corinthians of our own bodily resurrection. Listen real closely. Just as Christ was raised physically from the dead with a tangible body, and yet it was imperishable, we also be raised with a resurrected body, uniquely fit for eternity. I wrote this, I mean, the best I could try to put it in words. It's a body representing and containing all the personhood we once had. And it's us. It's our body. It has all the personhood that we once had. But without all the pain, all the sin, all the suffering of these mortal bodies that we now possess. You know, Jesus repeats the words that were spoken by the angels in verse 10. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. To me, those are some of the greatest words that I read from Scripture for me personally. You ever been paralyzed by fear? You ever worry? Do not be afraid. In other words, do not be afraid as you go forth in this world riddled with dangers and pitfalls. Don't be afraid of tomorrow because I have all that in my hands. Don't be afraid of anything because my love and care for you never wavers. Don't be afraid of what man can do for you, for I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Don't be afraid because I will lead you safely home to a life with me for eternity. Jesus also repeats the angel's instructions. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Here we have Jesus personally commissioning these women to go to tell others of his resurrections. They're the first ones that Jesus commissions. These women, these ladies. But what kind of reception do they have awaiting? In Luke's gospel, you can see the reception they get. If you want to turn there with me, it's Luke 24, verse 9. They arrive there. It says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. So there was a bunch of people gathered there, just not the 11. It says, but they didn't believe them because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. In John's account, we know, if you've read your Bible long enough, that John actually ran to the tomb with him. He outran him because he was younger, I think. But then when he got to the tomb, he said, okay, Peter, you can go in first. But it's interesting to me that the first skeptics Jesus faces with the news of his resurrection are his disciples. So don't look at me smug like you never question anything about God. We all do. There's a little skeptic in all of us. It's just that, you know, they can't get their minds around such an incredible story. Doesn't make any sense to them. But you know, I have to give Peter credit. In some sense, he's learned enough about Jesus and his credibility to run to the tomb and take a look for himself. Says a Peter bends down and looks in and sees the grave clothes present. In other words, they're sitting there still, but the body that used to fill them was absent. Notice in all the accounts, it's not like he took them off and rolled them up. The only thing that was folded was the cloth that went around the chin and the head to keep the jaw closed. We're told in that account I just read that he went away wondering to himself. Another translation says marveling at the things that had taken place. You get the feeling, and I would feel, I'm like, well, what's going on here? Do I really believe Mary that she said she saw him. I mean, maybe it was dark. I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know. But you know, God didn't keep them, or Jesus didn't keep them wondering long. But isn't our Savior wonderful? Here they were, just besides themselves in a lot of ways. They don't know what's coming down. The body's gone. But in John's gospel, it says that very evening, that very selfsame evening, that same evening, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Look, they're in there, wherever they're at, upper room, nobody knows for sure. But they're there and they got the doors locked because they're afraid that maybe they'll get blame for the body not being there. It says, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." There it is again. Do not be afraid. Peace be with you. After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. It says the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Do you remember when you first encountered the resurrected Lord? Now, I know you didn't see him personally in bodily form. I don't think anybody has here, okay? But do you remember when he opened your mind and understanding to clearly see Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Lord and Savior that you needed personally? Were you in awe? Were you overjoyed? Were you amazed? How about this one? Did it change your life? Because an encounter with the risen Christ leads to joy, to a lifestyle of worship, and an ever-increasing transformation into his image. Hard work. You know, that should be our story. And if your story doesn't have those elements in it, and you're sitting in church and you don't know if you really have had this transforming encounter with Jesus Christ, maybe you were raised in a church your whole life. That doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is an encounter with the living God. If that's not your story, maybe something's wrong. Maybe your foundation is not built upon Christ. You know, there's one other, and this is the last point, that's evidence of an encounter with the living Christ. Jesus addresses this in verse 21. I think I'm in John's Gospel, wasn't it? Yeah. Jesus again says to them that evening, "Peace be with you." Because they're going to need it. Because he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And it says, and with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's John chapter 20, verse 19 and 20, 21 there, I believe. He said, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." I'm thinking, wow, hope it don't go the same way for me. But it can. He doesn't guarantee it's going to be an easy walk. But he said, with that he breathed on him and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You know, a true encounter with Jesus Christ results in him breathing into the individual the Spirit of the living God. That makes all the difference in the world. Have you had the Spirit of the living God breathed into you? You know, I've been 7 years, I preached this. You know, and I, I look out and I honestly, I don't know if everybody that's here today is a born-again believer. Because I look, and I'm not judging anybody, but has there been a true encounter with the living God? Because it changes everything. How can it not? Because what that means is through His Spirit, Jesus Christ comes and resides in you. And what was His passion? To tell people the good news. That you can have eternal life. That your sins can be forgiven. And we need to take this to the world. Whoever will listen. He gave us the Spirit to empower us. And to do all that once His Spirit's in us, we have desires. New emphases for our lives. Sure, we enjoy life just like anybody else. Jobs, houses, families, new challenges, creativity, art, music, science. Man, life is wonderful. There's a lot of miserable people out there, though. They look good on the outside. They may be prosperous. But deep down inside, there's this gnawing emptiness that they can't seem to fill with anything. And I remember looking for this for years. This encounter with the whatever it was that I needed to fill the emptiness in my life. I'll tell you the truth. I was amazed and in awe that it was Christ that I was looking for all the time. Amen. I went to school. I studied psychology for a while. I thought that would be the answer. I can psychoanalyze myself. I ended up in worse problem because that's exactly what I did. I had everything. I finally came up that I was schizophrenic, paranoia, with a huge case of neurosis. I mean, I finally quit, to be honest with you. Because it was making me worse. It made me worse. Then I found out that this man from Galilee had written all these parables that dealt with the things that really mattered to my life. The deep things of my soul, my emotions. He came and He cleansed me from a couple outstanding sins that dogged me. That's why we have to keep presenting the truth, because there's people out there that won't admit it, but they have sins in their past that they've got a guilty conscience that dogs them day in and day out. Short circuits everything they do, taints it. They can't enjoy life. Jesus Christ said that. I come to take your sins as far as the east from the west and remove them. You notice He didn't say north and south. Because then you'd have a point. He said east from the west. I'm like, wow, that's marvelous. He knew someday we'd probably have a north pole and a south pole. He just says the east is from the west. That's far. You can never stop pushing it away. This is my closing. You know, angelic beings announced it then. They were the first to announce this great salvation that's been bought for us by God and His Son. He devised the whole plan. Nothing you can do that. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's done. It is finished. He brought the plan. You can't devise your own plan for this. Who do you think you are? God? No, he devised the whole plan. And he's given us this commission to announce it again and again and again as long as we have breath.
Amen.
And that's this. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Yes.
Stand with me.